Bridget, I think it's time.
It is. We're finally closing up on season 8, and we get to talk about Jasper's favorite movie of all time in the history of cinema.
Degrassi Goes Hollywood.
Yes. How excited are you right now?
I'm so excited. I've been waiting to do this since we started the podcast.
We should have just started it with, it's fine. We just had to put in like a year and a half of work to get to this point.
We had to prove ourselves.
Yes, exactly. And honestly, great movie.
Yeah, I don't know why people hate it. I mean, I get why people hate it, but...
Well, what's the thought process behind people who hate it? Like, what's the issues here?
Okay, the main things that people don't like are... that it's unrealistic that like people are getting famous. They're like, oh, Manny and Paige should not get famous because that's not realistic.
Okay.
And then the other main thing is that they dislike Paige's descent into evilness.
I mean, it's like kind of fitting for her though. It's not like a far off thing.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about that because I don't think it's unrealistic that Paige went to that at all.
Oh, yeah. But okay, so those are some pretty decent reasons, but I think we could shut them all down.
Yes. So. Especially like the famous thing, it's like, just have fun with it. It's not that serious. It's Degrassi.
Exactly. It's like, how realistic are half the things that are going on anyway? And now you're going to be pissy about this? Get over it.
Yeah, just enjoy the ride. It's always good to see our characters get happy endings.
Exactly. So how are we going to do this today? Are we going to do it by character? Like, what are you thinking?
I figured we would just do it by character because they're pretty separate for the most part, Paige, Ellie, and Manny. Like, Paige and Manny have a bit of overlap since they're trying to get the same role on the movie.
Yeah, that's really fair. And especially since like the characters in this, like Degrassi Goes Hollywood, there's not a lot. Like there's not a lot of characters involved.
Right.
Either. So who do you want to start with?
I think we should start with Ellie because she is the least involved in the whole Hollywood stuff, even though she's at Hollywood.
Yes, I think Ellie is a nice touch to this whole drama thing. Like, I think she just is one of the most popular characters on Degrassi, along with Manny and along with Paige. So, like, bringing them and Marco, too, even though Marco didn't have much. But him with Ellie makes a lot of sense. So, starting off with Ellie, good choice.
Yeah, and honestly, Ellie is my favorite of the three storylines.
Yes, storyline-wise, I agree. But overall favorite, Manny is still...
Yes.
She's still got it.
Obviously. Okay, so let's give a brief summary of Ellie. So Ellie actually doesn't pop into the movie until like probably a third of the way through after Marco comes to LA when Paige ends up getting the gig for the Jason Mewes movie. So at first Ellie is like, oh, I should stay. I have work to do for the newspaper. But then she finds out that her dad is in the hospital for PTSD from the army. We haven't actually seen her dad since season 3 during Ellie's self-harm episode. So it's been a while since we've even heard from him. And Ellie is a bit afraid to see him. It's just because he isn't doing well. She just doesn't want to see her dad like that, I guess. So to avoid her problems, she goes with Marco to LA to see Paige. And Paige, at this point, has already descended a bit into her evil queenness. So Ellie just kind of goes off on the town to do her own thing, and she runs into Craig, who is eating ketchup chips with Pete Wentz and what's her name, Cassidy Pope. Yeah, so she runs into him for the first time since the whole cocaine debacle, and he invites her to one of his shows that is happening that night. She is super excited to see him. Craig also reveals that he has been sober for about a year at this point. And when she goes back and tells Paige and Marco, neither of them are interested in coming to see Craig. So Ellie ends up going by herself, especially also at this time, Marco got a call from Ellie's mom about Ellie's dad. So Marco and Ellie also had a fight. So she's also kind of running away from her problems by seeing Craig. And so she goes and sees Craig's show, and they end up talking, and they spend a whole day together in LA, basically. And she also ends up staying with him because she doesn't want to deal with Marco at the time. So they have a super cute beach date. Craig plays Ellie a song that he wrote for her in rehab about how she basically saved his life.
A song.
From the whole cocaine thing. It's a banger, I'll admit it.
I honestly was thinking about looking it up on Spotify. I don't know if it's on there, but I really want to listen to it.
Yes. So Craig and Ellie have this fantastic day together. But as soon as they get back to Craig's apartment, lo and behold, Craig's girlfriend, Yvette, walks out. He did not tell her that he had a girlfriend. He's leading Ellie on once again. So Ellie is heartbroken and she decides to leave. And so everything kind of comes to a head because of this, where she got her hopes up with Craig once again. And also she is very upset about her dad, especially after her mom calls and is calling her a bad daughter and that she doesn't care. So Ellie breaks out the alcohol and gets a bit drunk. And so there's a party that Paige is having for whatever reason. And Craig shows up saying that, like, oh, I thought my life was perfect. And then you came back. And now it doesn't seem so perfect anymore. So Ellie is like, oh, I ruin lives. So she runs out of the party and goes to a beach. She almost drowns in the ocean before Craig and Marco save her. So as a result of this, it's kind of a wake-up call for Ellie that she needs to, like, get her shit together. So she decides to go back to Toronto to see her dad. And Craig is kind of talking about how he did a bad thing for once in his life. And they have a classic movie airport scene where they hug and leave, but then they look back and run into each other's arms and finally have the required kiss that Ellie has wanted for years and years. It doesn't seem like they officially get together, but it's implied that, like, they'll get together soon. And then Ellie goes back to Toronto and sees her dad. That is how Degrassi Goes Hollywood ends for Miss Ellie Nash.
Oh, this is like her last appearance too, right?
I mean, it is for most of them. Paige and Marco don't come back after this either.
Did Marco not do a student teaching thing?
Oh yeah, he does do that, but that's irrelevant, I think.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering, I'm like, is this the last of it? I know Craig also comes back, I think, one more time.
In Next Class, Paige and Marco do too.
Oh, okay. All right.
But yeah, I guess this is the last we ever see of Ellie ever.
That's nuts. That's crazy to think about. But I think this is probably the best that they've done for her in, like, so long.
No, literally.
Like, they haven't given her any plots leading up to this. Like, all they've been is, like, Craig. Like, I need to fix Craig, blah, blah, blah. And, like, yeah, they introduced Craig back into it. But I feel like it was more from Ellie's point of view. Like, there wasn't much of a Craig point of view. It was all her.
Yes. And I really like that. Because we've talked before about how Ellie has been pretty boring for a while now. Basically, since she got hung up on Craig, she's just been hung up on Craig or dealing with Jesse problems, none of which have been super compelling. But I think by combining the Craig drama with her dad drama in this movie, put kind of all of the boring stuff in perspective, kind of like how her boy problems are kind of a result of the underlying trauma that she got from, like, her mom being an alcoholic and her dad being gone.
Yes, I think that there's a lot of connection between, like, why she tried to stick it out with Craig so much too. Like, she even says, she's like, I tried to fix you, like, my dad, my, you know, like, everybody around her is falling apart and she feels like it's her job when it's not, you know. And honestly though, Craig was, like, really good in this, besides, of course, he cheats on another girlfriend, but otherwise I was, like, kind of impressed. You know, he's sober, he's living his famous life with Fallout Boy and their awkward advertisement for Lay's ketchup chips. They did not sponsor us. And I just, like, I don't know, I kind of liked having him back.
Yeah, like, I know I complained, like, oh, Craig's back once again, but that's mostly for the meme. Because, like, when he left in season 5 for, like, his music thing, it was very abrupt, right? We talked about that. And yeah. it being so abrupt was kind of disappointing because Craig is so important to Degrassi in the first few seasons. So to just have him leave like that was kind of annoying, because as much as I dislike Craig as a person, I do think that he is a good character and a great addition to the show.
Yes.
So yeah, like, I guess the spring break episode where he just did a little cameo performance, that was kind of unneeded. But like his cocaine episode, that was good. And him coming back here kind of helps wrap things up for him.
Yeah, because he also had like a pretty major journey in his life too. And like the last thing we leave off with is like him and Ashley are going to Europe together or whatever, which I did like that Ellie asked about that. Just to kind of get a wrap up, like, where's Ashley? Oh, she's in Europe still. Like, I came back. Like, I'm sober. All that good stuff.
Right. But I do kind of disagree about Craig being a good person in this movie. Because he's leading Ellie on.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, even when Ellie finds out about the girlfriend, there's the scene where she's like, I need to stop pretending that my feelings for you will ever be requited. So like, Ellie is just defeated at that point. We're like, oh, I got my hopes up again with Craig just for him to screw me over again. Like, this is like the third or fourth time.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. If I was in her place, I'd probably do the same shit anyway. So I can't even like disagree with her on that.
Well, yeah, but like, Craig let her get her hopes up again, and that's on him.
Oh, I mean, it's absolutely on him, and like, we know he felt the same way, but like, they live two different lives, like, at this point, you know? Yeah, the life that he's living is without Ellie, and he didn't plan for her to ever be there again, and she shows up, and he's like, oh shit, yep, nope, that's definitely still there, because the last time they left off was like him manipulating her with her own feelings.
Yes, exactly.
Which, like, now kind of puts into perspective, like, even though he was manipulating her, did he also feel the same way a little bit? Maybe, but who knows?
Yes. Because, like, Craig has always been pretty tumultuous. Like, of course, his problems are a bit under control now. But you could even see that, like, there's parts of him in this movie that are still a little unstable.
Well, that's the thing too, like, he was cheating on people before he was bipolar, and he was cheating on people after he was bipolar. Like, him cheating has nothing to do with his mental illness, and I think that that is like an important thing to show, like, the two are not connected.
Yes, but even with his mental illness, like, I don't know if you caught this, there's the scene where like Ellie runs off when she's drunk and Marco like runs up to Craig and is like, dude, you gotta go away. Craig is kind of like, oh, no, I need to see her. I need to see her. That kind of reminded me of like one of Craig's manic episodes when he was like, he was just kind of freaking out and trying to do whatever he wanted to do.
Oh, maybe. I kind of just thought that like he just put his foot in his mouth like majorly like 2 seconds ago and needed to like pull it out. That's what I thought. Cause like he really did. He was like, you're here and now my life is awful.
Right.
I was like, oof. And he probably was like, oh no. But yeah, I could kind of see, I could see what you're saying though. I don't know. I mean, to be fair, if somebody sang a song like that to me, I would also love them. So I'm gonna tell you.
Yeah, but I just always wish that Ellie would like realize how toxic Craig is for her. And she never learns her lesson.
No, because they're supposed to be together.
Are they?
I don't know, maybe. In a different life, maybe.
Like, definitely. The writers are gunning for them because they had the whole airport scene. Like, that was supposed to be like, oh yes, yas moment. Yes, they're finally together, you know?
Oh, I loved it. I'm sorry. I know. And like, in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, he's cheating again. Like, oh my God. But also, I don't care. Sorry, whatever her name was.
Vet.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I'm conflicted because on one hand, yes, I am happy that Ellie is finally getting her feelings requited after so many years of buildup. But at the same time, Ellie is not in the place to have a relationship with somebody.
Oh, I mean, she said that too. I mean, I don't know how much she meant it, but She did say that to Marco.
Right, and then she goes and gives Craig a big smooch.
They both ran at each other.
Yeah, but like...
That's not a relationship. You know, that was a goodbye. They're like, this is it. You know, when are they going to see each other again? Never. That's the end.
That was not just a goodbye kiss, Bridget.
Well, it was like a goodbye, but also like we're acknowledging how we feel at the same time. Because like they're not going to see each other again. That's the end of it. You know, like why would she ever go to LA? She wouldn't. And like, why would he ever go back to Canada? What's he doing there? He's got no family there. Like, he has no reason. They're never going to see each other again. Let's just like,
I mean, I feel like the implication is that they will get together officially in the future. That is what I got.
Yeah, but I mean, you could say that when you're 20, and then what? You know, like she finishes college, she goes out. Like it's one of those things where it's like right person, wrong time, I guess, if you want to go there. Because if he really wanted to be with her, he would have dumped the girlfriend and moved back. Because like you could do that, or he would have been like, move here, and then she probably would have. To be honest,
well, I think they kind of purposely left it open ended for that reason.
Yeah,
but I do think like the implication of that airport scene is that yes, they are going to get together at some point.
Maybe. I mean, yeah, it would be nice, you know, like, cause she's like, we'll always have LA, you know, like, as in like, this is it. Like, we'll look at this. This is great. And then he's like, maybe someday. That's literally, there's no attempt at making this real. They kind of just know, like, this was a chance. This just happened, you know, like we acknowledged it. We're going off. We're living our separate lives. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
I don't know. I just want Ellie to know her worth.
Well, she won't.
No.
Well, as long as Craig's alive, she won't, unfortunately. But, like, come on, he's not that bad. At least he's sober. Is that bare minimum?
I mean, yeah, but like in terms of having a healthy relationship, it's not going to happen ever with Craig.
No, but whatever. It's fine. It's better than Jesse. That's my opinion. Can't stand that man.
Sure.
Okay. Do you want to move on to Ellie and her dad?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So I thought it was super interesting how they were calling her dad sick the whole time, and then it ended up being PTSD, which makes sense, you know, he was in the war, so a lot of people die. But I just like never expected them to refer to PTSD as being sick, so I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, it seemed like he was in like the psychiatric ward or something.
Yeah, and like they did say that like the reason he's in there is because of his PTSD,
right?
So I wonder if maybe it's a Canadian thing, or they just kind of wanted to like keep you like on the edge, like, oh, what is he sick with, until like the end when she was like, he's in there for PTSD. But regardless, I feel like it was interesting the way that they said it was a sickness, or like he's sick, he's in the hospital, and then you find out it's that.
I didn't really think too much of it.
I guess I've never really heard of it being called like a sickness, you know, like when I hear sick, I think like cancer or like illness, but in this case, it was PTSD. I mean, it all adds up, like it makes sense. I just was like, okay, maybe it's a Canadian thing. Maybe people refer to it as that. And I just like didn't pick up on it. Like, did you know it was PTSD from the start?
Well, I think at first they just say he's in the hospital.
Yeah.
So they don't say the specifically sick. And then we find out pretty soon afterwards from Marco that he has PTSD.
Okay. Yeah, that made sense. And I mean, like, of course Ellie's going to avoid it. Like, this is one of the hardest things that she has to face in her life, you know? Like, she had to deal with her mom when her dad was gone, and all she wanted was her dad back. Now her dad's back, and he's sick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, now what, you know? What is she going to do by going there is really her thought process, which is sad.
Yeah, because she was saying that, like, oh, I can't fix him like I fixed you when she was talking to Craig.
Yes, that's what I was thinking about the fixing stuff. Yeah.
So, yeah. And also, it's just hard to see somebody who you haven't seen for like 5 years.
Yeah. So did he, I mean, I don't remember, or maybe you don't know either, but did he come back and immediately go into the hospital? Has he been back this whole time? Like, I don't really remember.
It was unclear. It kind of seemed like to me, like, he was at war, and that's when the PTSD started happening, so then he got discharged.
Okay, that makes sense.
That was kind of the implication that I got.
Okay, that definitely fits more. I get it.
So, like, it is a tough situation for Ellie to be in, just, like, not seeing your father for so long, and then he's dealing with something like that. So, I definitely understand the avoidance.
Yeah. I also, did you think it was like out of character for Marco to be so pushy? Like, I understand that the reason he was so pushy when she was like packing was because, you know, they need to give her a reason to want to stay with Craig. And it's because Marco's annoying about it. But I feel like with their friendship, with everything, he would have caught on and stopped like nagging her about it, you know? But he really would not drop it.
Yeah, I guess it is like a serious thing that like, you know, your friend has to deal with. But he definitely went about it the wrong way once she was clearly not having anything to do with the topic.
Yeah, like if she's packing to go stay with Craig, and then he, like, Marco is saying, oh, you know, like, I'll drop it. And for a second, I really thought she was going to stay. And then he's like, but I really think you should. And I was like, all right, why would you even, like, pick up on the social cues around you, sir? Like, you just almost won, and then you just lost 1 second later.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where they have to come to that decision on their own terms, not just because you're telling them to do it.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I thought it was kind of out of character. I thought, like, he was more self-aware than that, but I really think that they just made him annoying to drive the plot of her and Craig.
I don't think it was too out of character.
You think he would have still been that pushy even when she's literally about to leave?
What, it's something that big? Maybe.
Okay. I just thought he was like more understanding, but I don't know. Whatever.
Well, they're also, like, they're not living together anymore. So I could definitely see them having drifted apart just a little bit from last season.
Okay. Yeah, and I guess if her mom is calling him, he probably thinks it's, like, something even more serious, right?
Yeah.
And then she's also calling Paige, too. That's the thing, though. They made it seem like he was gonna die any second. Like, the way that they were like, you need to come home. Like, why did she need to cut her break short for this?
Well, I don't think it's just the principle that she should be there and not being on vacation when her dad is struggling.
Okay, that makes more sense. I was kind of like, I don't know what they expected her to do. Like, he's going to be in the hospital when she gets back anyway. They made it seem like it was this urgent thing that she needed to be there, like, right away.
Yeah. I think it was just, like, for Ellie's sake that, like, the right thing to do is to go see your dad rather than go gallivanting off with Craig.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think them doing that ended up pushing her to go gallivant with Craig even more.
Yeah, true. But, like, I did really like how they did bring her dad back, because that was pretty much Ellie's first plot with her dad leaving. And so to bring that full circle by bringing her dad back was a really good writing decision, I think. Especially since they kind of tied it together with her self-harm as well.
Yeah, with the fact that she, like, ran into the water kind of thing.
Yeah, that plus the alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit. Because, like, in terms of her, like, cutting herself, like she did when her dad first left, she definitely has that under control. But we can kind of see that those self-destructive behaviors are now kind of manifesting differently now that she's an adult. And that's manifesting in her having an unhealthy relationship with alcohol. And then there's also the kind of suicide attempt with the drowning thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They brought everything back.
So I thought it was a pretty smart way to kind of show how self-harm is not just like the cutting for one thing, and also how it could change over time. Because especially they brought up the alcoholism a bit in the last season. I know we talked about how in just that Caitlin episode where she was like drinking and called Caitlin a slut because she was drunk, that was not so much alcoholism and just her getting drunk and being stupid. But the pattern now that she's now drinking in this movie kind of shows how it's more of a problem now than just like a one-off instance that it was in season 7.
I guess so, but she only drank once in the movie.
But she also drank a whole bottle of vodka or whatever it was.
Yeah, I guess. Like, I don't think that's the issue, though. I don't think they developed it enough for us to be like, it's alcoholism. Like, she's just more of a I drink when I'm sad kind of person. Like, I think if they developed it more in the last season that she was in, like, it would make more sense. But yeah, her drinking when she's sad is also not good either.
Yeah, because there's also the history with her mom and her alcoholism.
Yeah, but I feel like they did kind of, Marco was like, stop drinking, your mom's an alcoholic, which like I get, but I wish they like actually talked more about that than just dropping that awkward conversation. You know what? I take it back. Marco does butt in a lot with Ellie.
Yeah.
Now I am thinking about it. He really loves to just have his two cents on everything in Ellie's life all the time.
Because like, even if like she wouldn't be clinically diagnosed with alcoholism, I guess, alcoholism does also take multiple forms. Like, it's not just you're drinking all day, every day. It could also just be that you're drinking to deal with your feelings, which isn't a healthy way to cope either.
Yeah, that is correct. Alcohol is not a healthy way to cope.
Yeah. So whether like it's medically alcoholism or not, I don't know, because I am not qualified.
Yeah, we like tried to talk about this before and we realized neither of us have any idea.
But either way, like, if you're using alcohol when you're super stressed to just deal with your feelings, that's not a good thing.
Uh-oh. No, I'm kidding. Maybe. No. Oh, man.
So, yeah, I really liked how they kind of tied that together. Like, again, this is the best storyline, I think, in the movie, just because it brings everything in Ellie's arc from the very beginning together and kind of puts them together. And how they all kind of interact with each other.
Yeah, I think they did a really good job with her. And like, they really could have fucked it up. They really could have just like had her just be a Craig fangirl and like made it all about him, but they didn't. And like, I'm pretty happy about it.
Yes, I completely agree. Because again, like, the common complaint for Ellie is that once she becomes a Craig fangirl, she's pretty boring, because like, she's not really the goth girl anymore, and she's not really dealing with the big issues anymore now that she's just dealing with Craig. And it's also just disappointing seeing her just get mistreated over and over again by Craig. But the fact that they tied all of these parts of her character throughout the years together kind of puts that disappointing part of her character in context, that like, because Ellie has such low self-esteem and like abandonment issues pretty much from her parents, that's why she latched herself onto Craig so hard and Jesse.
Yeah, well, even for Jesse, I feel like it wasn't even that she latched herself on for Jesse, it was more that like, she was willing to just let him do whatever he wanted, and right. She was like okay with it.
Right, she just accepted being treated like trash by both Craig and Jesse.
Yeah, with Craig, I feel like it kind of tied more into like, Craig is going through a tough time, I'm going through a tough time, like, let's go through a tough time together kind of thing. And then she loved him. Jesse just seemed like the guy that was there, and like, she didn't really want to look anywhere else except for Marco that one time.
Well, because even, remember in the episode where she made out with Marco, she didn't really care. She was just like, yeah, we made out. It's no big deal. So I feel like that also kind of ties into this, that like something big happened, like making out with your gay best friend, and she didn't think it was a big deal.
I know, it's so bad. Maybe I'm like fucked up because I'm like, what is the big deal, Jasper? You tell me.
I mean, it's just weird.
It is weird. No, I totally agree. No, I really think that this like full circle for Ellie, like her going to see her dad in the end was good. We knew it was going to happen, but it was really good that they ended it with her doing that versus her and Craig, in my opinion.
Yeah, because like I'm just thinking about like all the things that Ellie went through, that like her first real big plot was her self-harm, right? And then she eventually got that under control after a while, and then she kind of moved that self-destructive tendency to letting herself get shit on by Craig and then by Jesse.
Sean in between too.
Sean never really treated her badly.
That relationship was so unhealthy. Like, they were children living alone in an apartment. Like, come on.
Yes, but Sean was still good to her.
Yes, the way that he treated her was okay, but their situation that they were in was not okay. If he was also like a better guy, he could have been like, I think it'd be better if you didn't do this. I don't know. Not that he's not a good guy. That's a whole different conversation. But I think she's just been in like weird relationships this whole time.
Yes. And part of the reason why she doesn't know how to have a healthy relationship is because of her abandonment issues from her parents.
Yes. We need like a button that we can press that goes beep, 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 daddy issues, because we have a few of those in here. And I think she would fall under that category.
Yeah. Well, I'd say it's more mommy issues than anything, because I think she probably would have been fine with her dad being gone if her mom wasn't a raging alcoholic.
Yes, but her mom wouldn't be a raging alcoholic if her dad wasn't gone.
That's not Ellie's fault.
No, it's not, but it all stems back to the leaving part.
I guess so. But yeah, I'm glad this is where Ellie left, since we're never going to see her again. Wish that she didn't kiss Craig, in my opinion.
Live for it. This is my favorite.
Listen, out of context, the airport scene is fantastic. But in context, Craig is cheating. Ellie is not in a good place to be kissing anybody. So I just can't.
Fine, whatever. Be responsible. No fun.
Well, because that scene is clearly just like, yes, they're finally together. Fans of Craig and Ellie, you waited so long, and now's your chance to finally rejoice in Craig and Ellie being together.
Yes, exactly. That's me.
Okay, anything else for Ellie?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. So I say next we do Paige.
All right, let's do it.
All right. So Paige has kind of left her fashion assistant's job from last season. And now she is just an assistant for this reality TV star whose name is Haley. And she hates her life. She has to basically take care of Haley's bratty dog. And she is also lying to Marco about what her job is in Hollywood and saying that, like, instead of being Haley's assistant, she's saying that she is her stylist. So she hates her life, but she puts up with it, again, just kind of to get the opportunities that Haley could eventually give her if she deems Paige worthy of it. And so auditions are going on for the Jason Mewes movie, and Haley auditions and Paige is helping her practice and stuff. At the end of the audition, Paige has to go back to the audition room to like pick something up for Haley. And the producer of the movie, who is David from Schitt's Creek, I don't know the actual character's name in Degrassi Goes Hollywood, but
I think it's Rob.
Rob? Oh, it's Robbie, isn't it?
Yeah.
Robbie? I'm just going to call him David.
Nice.
So David is like, now's your big chance for two audition for this movie. So Paige kills her audition and she gets the part, even though Jason Mewes does not particularly like Paige for the part. He says that like, she's fine, but she's not the perfect match. And so once Paige gets the part, she gets put into this amazing mansion, and that's when she invites Marco and Ellie to come visit. And at first, Paige is taking the gig pretty seriously. She's learning her lines. She's like trying to be amicable on set and stuff, even though Jason Mewes clearly does not like her. And she is also like giving like pointed but respectful criticism of like she's doing a photo shoot at one point and she wants a better dress because Paige is a stylist, so she knows how these things work. But when it kind of gets in her head that Jason doesn't want her on the movie, and the producer says that like, oh, whatever I say goes, like, don't worry about the director because I'm the one who's really in charge. That's when Paige kind of gets it in her head that she is the real star of the movie. And that's when she kind of transitions to being a bit of a diva, especially since Marco is a bit preoccupied with Ellie at this point. So he's not really around to kind of tell Paige to stop being a bitch. And so Paige ends up latching onto Haley. So they become BFFs right away. And Haley also gets into Paige's head about like, oh, you don't need to learn your lines. You don't need to do anything. Like, you're the star. What you say goes. So Paige starts being a total diva on set, like showing up late, doesn't know her lines, telling people that like, I know better than you do. And so it eventually escalates to the point where Jason is like, I do not want this girl in my movie anymore. And if you don't fire her, I'm quitting. So Jason ends up quitting the movie, and Paige ends up missing out on her chance because she now has a reputation in Hollywood for being a diva. At this point, though, she has not learned her lesson because she runs into Perez Hilton, who gives her a red carpet ticket to a movie as her last chance to kind of keep her relevancy as a celebrity. And so she plans to like trip on the red carpet without wearing underwear so that people could get a coochie shot of her. And so as she's planning this out, Marco is like, girl, what the fuck? And that is when the infamous Paige and Marco scene happens, where Marco calls Paige a spoiled brat, and then Paige slaps Marco, effectively ending their years-long friendship. And so Marco ultimately leaves to go back to Toronto with Ellie, and Paige realizes at the red carpet that she does not want to be somebody who shows her coochie all around the world. And she ends up tripping on the red carpet because she sees Manny, who has shown up and is there. So Paige trips and breaks her leg, and that is what causes her to kind of change things around. The movie at this point is canceled, but Paige kind of works her magic to get Manny to audition on top of the school bus that she took the road trip in, and brings Jason Mewes and David to see her audition, which greenlights the movie once again, and with Manny as the star and Paige as Jason's assistant. And there's a very sad final scene where Paige is calling Marco and Marco does not pick up. And that is the last we see of Paige and Marco, at least until the reunion in Next Class.
Beautiful. Well done. Okay, so let's talk about, I guess, Paige's overall character, because we talked about how much growth she had, you know, from season one to like her last season she was in, and like it kind of seems like it all goes out the door in this, but you and I kind of talked about it, we feel like it just makes sense, like that's just who she is now, you know, like she's never lost her like spunk, kind of like Holly J, you know. Holly J turned into like a decent person, but she's still a little bitchy. Kind of same with Paige, like Paige is like a decent person, but she's always been like that, and it kind of just makes sense.
Right, like I was thinking, like, how much has Paige actually grown over the years? Like people are like, oh, this is a complete like 180 for Paige, she is back to day one Paige, who is an awful person. But how much has Paige actually grown over the years? Like, she definitely has, but yeah. I collected some evidence.
Jasper, no way.
So, like, for example, at the very beginning, Paige was super manipulative, right? There was the whole dance thing with Terry where she got Terry drunk so that she could get with Spinner. she was a complete asshole to Ashley all the time and kind of turned everyone against her. And so that was kind of Paige's starting point, right? Where she's terrible. And honestly, I would say Degrassi Goes Hollywood Paige is worse than that, honestly, with how she's treating people. But then let's just look through the years, right? So she does like get better over time, right? Like after she dealt with her sexual assault, she like helped Ellie with her self-harm. She did the trial for the sexual assault and stood up to her rapist. She was most of the time a good friend to Marco and Alex and also helped Spinner while he was dealing with being isolated from the friend group. More recently, she stood up to her fashion lady boss person and was like, I'm not going to let you treat me like shit, things like that. But at the same time, even as she has grown up, she has also continued to kind of screw some people over, namely Alex, which we talked about in season 6 and 7, how terrible Paige was to Alex that entire time of like their relationship, where she was judging Alex for being a stripper and like ends up kicking her out of the house to like live God knows where. So I'd say that's the biggest piece of evidence for Paige still being a bit of an asshole sometimes. But in addition to that, like she also judged Griffin for having HIV. And of course, her infamous feud with Manny.
Yes.
Like, where, like, what was it? Manny was doing everything for the Spirit Squad, and Paige took all the credit and was like, Manny, you're a terrible person for helping me out.
Yep, that too.
So, like, yes, Paige has grown up over the years from season 1, but, like, she's still not, like, an angel.
No.
She's still capable of, I wouldn't say manipulating people. I wouldn't say she manipulated anybody in the movie necessarily. She was just kind of a dick. But she is still capable of like just not being a good person, especially when she has something that she wants. Because especially with the whole Alex thing, the reason she kicked Alex out was because she was prioritizing her career. So it's kind of the same thing here where she thinks she has a shot to be famous, which I mean, you could say that's her career at this point, and she's doing whatever it takes to keep that.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I think you can compare her in this case to, like, Manny, because Manny's doing whatever it takes, you know, for her to get her career started, and she's not really acting diva-like when she could be.
Right.
At the same time. Yeah, no, I think that it makes complete sense. Like, Paige has always been somebody who wants to be, like, in charge. She's, like, the most popular. Like, why wouldn't she follow along with someone who's like, hey, if you do this, like, more people are gonna like you? Or, like, it's already an ego boost that she's on the cover of all these magazines and stuff, too. So, I'm just not shocked.
Great. Me neither. Like, it's definitely disappointing, for sure. Like, don't get me wrong, it sucks to see Paige acting like that and treating Marco like that. Mm-hmm. But in terms of like, oh, they threw away years of character development, I disagree with that take.
Yep, that makes sense.
What is interesting to me, though, is that Paige didn't go full diva right away. Like I mentioned, when she first got the job, she was taking it pretty seriously and was doing a pretty good job of like doing her best and being respectful. So what do you think about that? Like, what was the catalyst, I guess, from taking it seriously to being a diva?
Well, she took it seriously because, in my opinion, I don't think she realized that she didn't have to. She kind of, early on, the reason that she turned her attitude to be awful was because people were like, you're fine. You have this job. They need you to do this. So, like, why be all nice and respectful and like, oh, no. What's his name? Muse was already not happy that she was there anyway, no matter how respectful she was being. So, like, if her acting like a diva, like her getting what she wants, is gonna have the same results as if she is being kind, then why not get what you want? Like, why not go to the big party? Why not, like, do all these fun things and treat people badly if, like, you're still just gonna get exactly what you would get if you didn't do that?
Well, the thing is, because she was acting like that is why she lost it all.
Yeah, but she didn't realize that, like, yet. Because, like, also the person that's doing this with her acts like this all day long and still has a job.
Well, but the thing is, when Paige quit her job as an assistant, she's like, I'm never going to treat someone like you treated me. And then she goes on and treats people like Haley treated her.
Yeah, like it's foreshadowing in that case. It's like, obviously she's going to treat people like that because that's just like who Paige is.
Well, but how I was kind of viewing her diva transformation was that Paige has pretty much been at rock bottom for like the past year or so. Because she dropped out of college and pretty much everybody with power over her has been treating her like shit. So like her fashion lady, what do you call her? Her boss at the fashion job. And Haley has been treating her like shit. And I guess you could even say her professor was kind of mistreating her like before she dropped out. So like she's just been like beaten down pretty much constantly for the past year. And she has pretty much lost her entire support system. Like, she has no friends in LA. And, like, the people who she does care about, like, Marco and Ellie, they're not around. And she's lying to them, for one thing. Alex is long gone. And then even when Marco and Ellie are in Hollywood, they're not helping her out. Like, they're more preoccupied with Ellie's problems.
Well, what were they supposed to help her out with?
Well, like, there was a scene with, I think it was after Paige had, like, a panic attack because of the heights.
Oh, that Marco was, like, laughing at her?
Yeah, like, Marco was laughing at her, and then Paige was, like, she's worried that she's going to lose it. She's worried that she got this big break, like, it's going to be taken away from her. Which I think is because pretty much everything has been taken away from her in the past year.
Yeah.
So I think that anxiety is because of her past experiences with losing things that she cares about, and especially because Muse, she already knows, doesn't like her.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, her anxiety existing makes sense, but how does that tie into her being a diva?
So how I kind of think about it is that since she has no support system, there's no one telling her, like, keeping her in check, I guess. And then since this is her one chance, she's just going to do whatever it takes to keep it.
Yeah.
And that kind of becomes a cycle because Marco and Ellie are not helping her out. And then she takes Haley into her circle, who's like the devil on her shoulder.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how it continues to spiral once she starts being a bit diva-like.
Yeah. Because nobody's there to stop it.
Right. So it's just kind of like the crippling fear of losing it. And then she does all the exact wrong things to keep it. Like kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, like, I guess it just also, like, fits her personality too.
Yeah.
As well. Because, like, you wouldn't act like that if you haven't acted like that in the past ever, in my opinion.
Right.
And she, like, does, you know, she acts like that. That's the whole thing.
Right. Like, it's kind of similar to her relationship with Spinner in a lot of ways, where Paige was clearly running the show and Spinner was just laughing at her heels for most of their relationship.
Yes. And, like, the same with her and Alex. Like, she treated Alex like garbage because Alex didn't treat her the way she wanted to be, like, treated in that way.
Right.
Like, Alex didn't let her walk all over her. But, I don't know. I mean, like, I think it also, they wanted to just fit the stereotype of acting like a diva when you're in Hollywood kind of thing, so.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They're probably just mostly making fun of Americans. Is my thought process, too.
Yeah, like, Haley was definitely supposed to be, like, a knockoff Paris Hilton or something like that.
Yeah, I wrote that. I was like, Paris Hilton, because she's the reality star that acts like that.
Yeah. So it was definitely over the top for, like, the movie's sake. But in terms of it, like, making sense for Paige, it absolutely does. Even though it is disappointing.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, made it entertaining.
Yes.
So it was fine with me. She was nice. It wouldn't have been fun. You, like, need a villain. You want Manny to win.
But you also want Paige to win.
Nah, I didn't really want her to win. I wanted Manny to win more.
Well, how fun would it have been if Paige was deserving of the role because, like, she's trying her best? So, like, you're rooting for Paige because, like, she lucked out, but then you're also rooting for Manny because she has the talent.
Well, then you wouldn't root for Manny.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, how interesting would it be if you were rooting for both of them?
You can't root for both of them to get the same part. You'd have to pick one.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, it's the inner conflict in the audience that, like, oh, I want both of these characters to succeed, but only one can.
Well, that's the thing. If they decided not to make Paige a diva, right? And she, like, started to improve and made herself better, then you're going to be like, oh, I don't really want Manny to get this. Like, no right. matter what, you're not going to be like, both of these people deserve it. Like, in any, you know, if Manny was being a diva, you would be like, I'd rather Paige have it.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it would have been an interesting thing for the viewer to go through to root for both of them.
Jasper, I'm saying you wouldn't root for both of them. There's no situation where you'd be like, I hope they both get it.
Well, but that's what makes it interesting, because you want them to both get it, but you know only one can.
No, I don't want Paige to get it.
But what if you did?
I don't. There's no way. She has no talent. Literally, everybody's like, can Paige act? No. That's the whole point. She can't. She had one good audition because she looks like the girl that they want.
I just want Paige to succeed. Because she has not succeeded at all.
She lost it in this one. She was fine. She's fine. She'll be okay. Look at her. She ended up being a freaking director's assistant or whatever.
Yeah, hopefully she's getting that money.
They should have just made her a stylist. I don't know why they like did whatever they did with her.
Yeah, honestly, I'm surprised Muse even wanted her as an assistant, given how she treated him.
Right? Me too. All right, we rambled a lot about that for no reason. All right, what do you want to go do?
The last thing I wanted to mention was just Paige and Marco, just because their blow up is like probably the number one thing that people hate about Degrassi Goes Hollywood.
Okay, so let's see. Marco was being annoying, but Paige was being mean. And I think Paige was definitely in the wrong. And I honestly don't blame Marco for not taking her back in the end.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. There has to be consequences for the way that you act. And this is a consequence for the way Paige acted.
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely sad to see, because Paige and Marco have a fantastic friendship.
Yes, they were good friends when they lived together. I'm sure there was some distance, you know, when she moved to LA and he stayed wherever he stayed. Obviously, he wouldn't have flew there if he didn't think that this would be something fun. And she just, like, ruined it. And honestly, so did Ellie. Both of them ruined this trip for him for no reason.
Yeah, poor Marco.
And then he, like, barely even had any plot time. Like, he didn't have, like, anything.
Yeah, he was just there as the supporting character.
Yeah, which was kind of weird, because you'd think that you would give him, like, I don't know, an opinion, but no, he just pretty much got screwed.
Yeah, I fell for him. He just wanted to meet Ashton Kutcher.
I know, that's all he wanted. And then he just, like, gets slapped instead.
But at the same time, Marco kind of has always been, like, the voice of reason in most of his friendships. So yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah, he's always telling Spinner, like, knock it off.
Yeah, and Craig too.
Yep, and Ellie.
Yeah. So, I mean, what storyline would you have wanted to give Marco in Degrassi Goes Hollywood?
I don't know. I kind of just want to know, like, what's he up to? Like, what's he doing? Like, is he still with that guy that we both hate? Like, what's the deal? I don't know. But I do think that this is a good thing. I think him not being friends with Paige in the end shows that he did grow up in a way that he's like, why would I put up with this again? You know?
True. Because it's kind of similar to how Dylan was treating him, and he just put up with it.
Yeah, no more Michael chokes in his life. He's over it. He's done.
Yeah. But when Marco, in the slapping scene with Paige, when Marco said that Paige is the same insecure little girl that she's always been, do you think that he meant that, or he just said that because he was pissed at her?
I mean, like, there was truth behind it. He wouldn't have said it if he didn't think that at some point.
At what point do you think he got that opinion of her?
Probably when she was being a bitch, like, recent. No, I think that at some point, like, when they were growing up, you know, he's been friends with her forever. He's seen her, like, go through all this shit with Alex, with Spinner, like, so many issues. And then here she is again, being a diva, like, not caring about other people. I'm sure at some point in their friendship, he had that thought, and the thought came out in this moment.
That makes sense.
Obviously, sure. He wouldn't have said it if he wasn't upset in that moment.
Right. Like, I wasn't sure if it was one of those things where, like, he actually meant it, or if it's one of those things where you say it because you know it will be hurtful to that person you're fighting with.
I think that specific thing that he said was something that he had thought in the past, because it's like, it's so random. It's like such a like dig, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I don't think I'd want to. I'm surprised she wanted to be friends with him after he said that. I would have been like, you're done too.
Well, because Paige realized that he was right.
Yeah, that's fair. But I don't blame him for not picking up the phone.
No. Very sad to see, though.
Hey, consequences, remember?
Yes, consequences. Very important. Okay, anything else for Paige Michalczuk?
Overall, I thought she was really entertaining.
For sure. Lauren Collins, like, always kills it.
She was so good. Like, I just really was, like, impressed with this whole thing. Like, with all of them, I was like, how did all of them, like, not go off to be, like, even more famous people, you know? Like, they were all so good.
Yes.
But no, otherwise.
All right. Let's go on to our star, Manny Santos.
Yay.
All right. So for Manny, she starts out by just taking one of her classes at Smithdale, one of her acting classes. And her professor, who she also happens to be dating, shits on everything that she has ever done in her life. So she's like giving a monologue in class, and he's like, oh, you're untalented. Like, why aren't you crying, you stupid bitch? And she's like, oh my God, you're so smart. I am an untalented, stupid bitch. So Manny is essentially in an emotionally abusive relationship. And at the same time, Kevin Smith and Jason Mewes come to Smithdale to just give like a lecture or something. And Kevin and Jason convince Manny to audition for the movie at Degrassi. But her abusive professor boyfriend does not want her to audition because he thinks that she is not ready, aka he just wants to keep control over her. Manny ignores him and auditions anyway, but he gets in her head and she blows the audition. She is pretty terrible, which honestly, that just shows Cassie Steele's acting talent, that she was able to act badly, like that good as a bad actress. Because it was so good. But anyway, she bombs her audition and she is super upset because her professor boyfriend is saying, like, I told you so, you are untalented, blah, blah, blah. But Emma, actually being a good friend to Manny for once, is like, oh, you could drive to LA and get the part. Because, like, Kevin, like, called them and was like, oh, there's still a chance because Muse doesn't like Paige. So, like, if you get your ass to Hollywood and kill your audition then you'll get the part. So at first, Manny isn't sure because her boyfriend, once again, is shitting on her life. But Emma ends up convincing her with the help of one Jay Hogarth, who is driving the bus to LA. Because what's also happening is the Studes, Peter, Danny, and Sav, like, got a part as, like, the band on the movie. But they lost the part when Peter punched the, what's his name, Michael Cedar because he was flirting with Mia. That's a whole other thing. But essentially, the students are also on this bus to LA. And so road trip shenanigans ensue, where they are all on the bus with Jay, Manny, the students, plus Mia. And Manny is kind of trying to practice for her audition, but she gets in her head about it. She like isn't sure how she's going to do it. She's feeling pretty unconfident. Jay kind of helps her out a little bit, but Manny is still not really sure if she's going to be able to do it. But when they make a stop at a dive bar, Jay signs Manny up to like do a performance, which he does not want to do at first, but of course she kills it, and that kind of gives her some of the confidence that she needs. Of course, the bus got stolen while they were at the dive bar, so Manny gets pissed at Jay for losing the bus, but they find it like a mile down the street. I don't even know what happened there. It like broke down, but eventually they find the bus, they fix it with the help of Mia, and they end up getting to Hollywood just to find out that the movie has been canceled because of Paige. Manny is heartbroken, but Paige at this point has realized what a fuck up she has done, so she helps Manny audition and convince Muse and David to continue with the movie. So Manny performs Life is a Show with the Studs and kills it, and she gets the part. And the Studs also get back onto the movie as the band. And she gets back together with Jay. So Manny becomes a huge movie star. She's back together with Jay. And she gets her happy ending, the end.
Yay. All right. There's so many different, like, things to talk about.
Yes.
All right. Let's start with her shit boyfriend. Okay. So the professor thing is weird, but I think it's kind of one of those tropes where it's like, you go to college, you date your professor, he's older, he knows more than you, so like he's gonna be emotionally abusive and like ruin your life. Like, I think it's just kind of one of those basic weird college things that people are like, oh, what do people do when they go to college? They date their professors. I also couldn't figure out if he's like a Johnny Depp ripoff, like where they try to make fun of him because he's like an actor but he kind of looks like him.
Yeah, I wasn't sure.
Yeah, so that was interesting, but it also kind of showed like Manny's always lacked confidence in herself. Like, I think it's taken her a while to kind of like it's easy to be like, I don't care what people think, but she does, you know. It took her a while, but I think this kind of ties into the fact that, not that she hasn't been confident this whole time, but that she's been like working towards it, you know, and like he's just bringing her down again, and everybody around her sees it and she doesn't, but eventually she does, which is good.
Well, how I kind of see it is Manny has always been confident in herself.
Really?
The only times that Manny is not confident in herself is when other people are putting her down.
Yeah, okay.
So like, for example, when she got her new look with the thong, she was super confident in herself with that, and she was like, yes, I'm hot, so I'm going to get a hot boyfriend and I'm going to steal Craig away from Ashley. Like, she was super confident in that. For better or for worse, she was confident.
Okay.
But what stopped her confidence was when Emma was shitting on her for her new look.
Yeah.
And like when she got pregnant and Ashley and the whole school started shitting on her for being pregnant.
Okay. So I guess when I say like, not that she's like lacked confidence this whole time, I think I meant more along the lines of like confidence has always been a plot for her.
Yes. Yes.
Does that fit better? I think that's kind of what I meant. Yeah. And then like, yeah, this is shown through this too.
Yeah, because outside of like her new look, I was also thinking about Manny's first ever plot in season one was when she was trying to get onto the cheerleading team and she was super confident in her cheerleading. And Emma was like, cheerleaders are terrible people. You should not be a cheerleader, Manny. But Manny was like, no, I'm a good cheerleader. Go the fuck away, Emma.
Classic Emma.
Yeah. And then again, there was like her new look and like just her sexuality in general. Like, Manny has always kind of owned her sexuality. And then, like, people like Darcy and her dad have brought her down for that. And then even before, her confidence with her acting in this movie, like her dad was putting her down for her acting confidence, and like her agent too, when it was like her agent was shitting on her boobs or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, how I kind of view it is that Manny has always been confident in herself, but it's other people who make her feel unconfident because they're jealous of her.
Yeah, and he's just another one of those.
Yes. And honestly, for the most part, in the situations I just listed, like, she almost never let it ruin her confidence, right? Like, when her dad kicked her out, she didn't stop her dream of being an actor. Mm-hmm. She was just like, yeah, he's gone, so now I could actually pursue my dreams.
Yeah.
And like last season, even when Jay stole her audition tape, she was still confident that she would be able to do it, but he got in her head and that's what screwed her over.
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty telling that this guy, her professor, is really the first person to really like bring her down in her confidence.
Well, I guess because, I mean, it makes sense. Like, he's somebody who has, I'm assuming, has acted at some point. You know, like, the people right before that were bringing her down weren't even experienced in the things that she was, like, fighting over. Like, her dad wasn't an actor. Like, Jay wasn't an actor. Emma wasn't a cheerleader. Like, but now it's somebody who is in that profession and telling right her. And that's kind of similar to, I'm rewatching Gilmore Girls for the 1,000,000th time, and there's a very similar plot with the main character who goes to Yale for journalism. Like, she's in Yale, and then this like guy who runs a newspaper tells her she doesn't have it, and there's a whole other plot behind it. Like, he's not doing it for the right reasons. Like, she's fine, she has it, but he's just being a jerk. And like, she drops out of college. She's like, I can't do it, I drop out. And it's kind of like, why is he the one that bothered her so much? It's because he's in that profession. Like, he's the one that would know. And she says the same thing in this. Like, Manny's like, well, he would know, you know?
Right. Like, he has clout and like he's getting paid to teach her, so that's why she like values his opinion so much.
Exactly.
And then of course there's also the emotional abuse part of it too that's bringing her down.
Literally what I was about to say. Like, they did a really good job with it, unfortunately. Like, yeah, it was kind of like tough to watch, but it was exactly how somebody in that situation would act. Like, he was manipulative, he was mad, oh, you're doing this, like, you're supposed to hang out with me, and then he's like, never mind, I don't want to do that. It's like, you suck. It's like, if you like someone, you're not gonna put them down like that, you know? Like, it's right, not your job to be realistic, even though he's obviously not even being realistic, he's just being jealous. But I also thought it was interesting that everybody around her was saying the same thing, and she like wasn't really listening.
Saying that he was bad for her?
Yeah, like Emma and Kelly were like, this guy's an absolute asshole, like, why are you even with him? And then Jay's the same thing, you know?
Well, that's like the emotional abuse part, that she felt like she needed his approval.
Yes.
Like you said, I thought they did a pretty good job of showing how terrible he was, while also not making it too cartoonish. So I feel like sometimes shows could like make it too much to be like, okay, this probably wouldn't happen exactly how they're portraying it. But the way that like he kind of snuck in during the key moments of what was going on with her, like right before her audition, he called and was like, oh, you're auditioning, right? You're gonna screw it up. I know you are. The way they kind of did that, I liked. Because kind of this whole movie is just her confidence getting broken down just for her to try and build it up again.
Yeah, and him being a part of it, like, adds up. Because without him, she wouldn't have blew the audition and they wouldn't have the whole movie.
Right, exactly.
So, do you have anything else for him?
The only thing is, I kind of wish that there was a scene when she did get the part where she like told him off and like broke up with him officially.
Yeah.
And like got him in trouble for dating a student.
Yeah, I wish, but it doesn't seem like that would have happened, unfortunately. Yeah.
That would have been nice, but like Manny still got the gig, so I'm proud of her either way.
Yes, me too.
But yeah, how do you feel about like just the overall progression of the storyline, just like the road trip and Jay and all those things, like the bus crashing down?
Okay, so I think my main issue with this whole thing is Jay and Manny, to be honest. Like, why? Why did they bring him back? He would treat her like garbage. He was awful. There wasn't anything cute about their relationship. Like, they broke up because he literally broke and stole a ring and like was a liar and then called her a bitch. And like, why are we pretending like none of that happened? Like, at least Craig had the excuse that he was a drug user, you know, and he's like, I'm sober now. Like, what's Jay's excuse? Nothing. He's just a jerk. So I was like, why was he the one that had to drive the bus? Make Spinner drive the bus. Like, who cares? You know, like, why did it have to be him?
Well, they were clearly gunning for Manny and Jay to get back together.
Which annoys me. That's just as toxic or more toxic than the relationship she's already in. So, like, why are we, whatever. I think that she didn't need him to be in this movie to get her confidence back. I don't think he really did much. You know, like, all the things that he did could have been done by Peter or Sav or Spinner or literally anybody else if they had put them in that place.
Well, the thing is, the things that get Manny her confidence back are when he comforts her, like when they're on the side of the road or something, right? He comforts her when she is like not sure if she's going to be able to like figure out the script or whatever. And when he convinces her to do the performance at the dive bar.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, anybody else could have done that.
Well, but I think the point is that Jay knew that those things would help her.
Ow, Jay's trash. You can't forget that Jay didn't treat her like absolute ass at the end of that relationship.
No, I agree, but he also knows Manny well.
So does Emma. Put Emma on the bus then.
I guess,
like,
there's
too many other options for them to have brought Jay back, and I didn't like it. And then we'd like, he didn't even apologize for the way he treated her. Like, there's nothing.
Okay, yes, I completely agree that they get back together without addressing the problems which led to their breakup. I do agree with that. But I do think throughout the movie, Jay did good by Manny.
No, I don't care. That's like the same if the like guy called her and was like, oh, just kidding, you actually did a great job at your audition. Like, would that be okay for the things that Jay was going to LA anyway? He wasn't doing Manny any favors.
I mean, I guess he could have not let her on the bus.
Yeah, but like, come on. You know what I mean. Don't fight for this. You're not in on this either. I feel it.
No, like, yes, I agree they were toxic in season 7, but I do think he did very good for her in the movie. And I think that them getting back together is earned, even though I do think they should have addressed the issues from last season.
The issues that they were literally engaged. Like, no, he could have acted like this and they could have not gotten back together. That's really what it could have been. They didn't need to get back together at the end. They could have been friends and that would have been fine. Like, what are you even getting back together for? You're never going to see each other again. Like, what's he going to do? Move to LA? He's going to just be like Alex, like to Paige. He's going to drag her down.
Well, I do think next season they talk about like how Jay is a little lonely with Manny being gone.
So stupid. Whatever.
But like, for me, Jay and Manny have a ton of chemistry.
No,
they are
Jasper. No chemistry in this. He's horrible.
Listen.
So mean to her.
What? He was not mean to her at all in this movie.
In the movie, in the like 1 week they spend together, he holds it together. Until he like calls her a bitch for not calling him when she's in LA.
Well, I am a Jay and Manny fan. I recognize they're unhealthy, but
I didn't realize you love toxic relationships.
Stop.
No, that's my 2 cents on that. That's all I gotta say.
I don't want to fight with you anymore. But I just think that he does make it up to her throughout the movie. That's all I'm gonna say.
He can make it up to her, but that doesn't mean he made it up to her enough that they got back together.
Well, what else could have happened for you to support
friends? Just friends. Be like, thank you, I appreciate it, I'm gonna be a movie star, you go back to Canada, see you later. And then a nice little hug. The end.
Well, that's not how movies work, Bridget.
We had Ellie and Craig. I didn't need any more.
I would prefer Jay and Manny over Ellie and Craig.
Well, that's just wrong. Okay.
Otherwise, I do like the road trip vibes throughout the movie. I thought it was done very well.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's basically just like a repeat of the road trip from last season, but like much higher stakes, which is so much more fun.
It was fun. The people that were there were fun. Like, it was cute that Mia went on this trip, even though it didn't really make sense, but like whatever. And then stayed in California, like she doesn't have a kid. And also the fact that like Sav was allowed to stay too.
It's the movie magic.
No, that's where it's like, it's cute. Like, I liked it. It was a fun road trip. The dive bar scene was super cool. Like, I liked the overall trip. It wasn't boring. There was not a single part where I was like, wow, I wish this would hurry up.
Yes, for sure. Although, like, when the bus was stolen and they found it like 5 minutes later, I was like, what was the point?
Yeah, I guess they were trying to show Manny's dedication to going. Being like, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Maybe I do want to go. I don't want to go. And then this was like it. I'm going to go and make it no matter what.
Yes. And the line where she's like, whatever it takes.
Yes.
Like, of course, that stood out to me because it's whatever it takes. But also, in terms of Manny specifically saying whatever it takes, I was thinking about how back in season 3, when Manny was trying to steal Craig from Ashley, and they went to that rave thing, and she was like, yeah, I'm going to do whatever it takes to steal Craig away. And it was like, no, man, yes. you're using the words in vain. But now she's using the words to achieve her dreams.
That's a really cute way to think about it.
Yeah, so I was like, that's growth right there.
Yes, definitely growth.
But yeah, love this for Manny, because similar to Ellie, it's kind of a microcosm of everything that she's been through throughout the years. Because this is Manny's last storyline as well, so.
Manny.
She's had a good run. One of the best.
Yeah, now she's a celeb.
Celeb.
She can sing really well.
Yes, Crash My Party and Life as a Show are bangers.
All the songs in this movie are really good.
They really are.
Like, all of Craig's songs, all of Manny's songs, like, it all just is really good.
Yes, and it is why Degrassi Goes Hollywood is the greatest film of all time.
The greatest. It deserves a, what do you get, a Grammy? An Emmy?
Oscar.
I don't even
Oscar.
Know. An Academy Award? Oscar? Yeah, thank you.
Oscar.
It deserves its own.
Degrassi Goes Hollywood was robbed.
You tell him.
Okay. Do you have anything else?
No. I feel like we did it all.
Yeah. So, to the Degrassi Goes Hollywood haters, you are wrong. Hard to say.
We think you're wrong.
It is a banger of a movie. It's so fun. Yes, it is not the most realistic thing, but sometimes it's good to just have some fun sometimes and get our characters to have happy endings, you know?
Yes, I agree.
So, yeah, Bridget, how do you feel about season 8 as a whole now that we're finishing up?
I don't know if it was, is definitely not my favorite. It was good. It was a good season. I don't know where it'll place on my list. I lost the list. I have to get it. It's in my other notebook. I think we talked about this at some point. I filled an entire notebook with Degrassi notes from like seasons when we started. So season what? 10 to all the way to season 7. So I just started a new notebook and I had all the lists. But I don't know where I would put it. It was good. It wasn't my favorite, but it was good.
Yeah, I'd say it's mid tier.
Yes, thank you. That is perfect.
Yes. Like, I do like how the college plots were not as present this season, because just seeing all the new characters really get to shine is good. Like, they're really transitioning to the next generation now that Paige and Emma's grade are graduated. It was also nice to, like, kind of check in with them in Degrassi Goes Hollywood, and we'll check in with Emma next season for Degrassi Takes Manhattan. Just to kind of close off these characters' arcs and just give a final goodbye to them.
Yeah, so this is our wrap up also for the year.
Yes, we're going into 2022, starting with season 9.
And then once we do season 9, we'll have to, I don't know, maybe we'll put a vote out. Be like, what should we do next? Probably the you know, season 12, but right,
season 12. 13.
That's what I meant. Probably season 13. Yeah, because we started with 10, which was kind of odd, but it was the best. So it's fine.
Yes. Well, we kind of decided on that just because, in my opinion, season 10 is the best season. And there also is not as much content in terms of, like, podcasts and stuff on the later seasons in general. But yeah, so Degrassi Goes Hollywood, super banger. We'll be back soon in a couple weeks. Have a happy holidays. Merry Christmas. I think Hanukkah already happened this year. But yeah, happy holidays in general to everyone. Thank you for listening, and we will see you soon.